Good morning.
Good morning,
my sisters and my brothers, ye saints and sinners, children of God. Angels all about us, angels surround us. What are angels? What are we even talking about? This is such an unusual and strange concept, and yet we have these interpretations and these images of what we think angels are. And yet we start out, we have these passages from the book of Daniel and Revelations that clearly explain about Michael and the angels, and yet nothing in the Gospels mention Michael's name. We have this passage from Luke, though, that Jesus talks about having sent the 70, or where we talk about Jesus having sent 70 out, 70 people that were his followers. That included the disciples. And they returned with joy. Joy. Jesus, these things, this power that you gave us. We could do these amazing things. We could cast out demons. We could heal people. We performed the signs that you performed all on our own. And then Jesus relates to them about him having seen Satan cast from heaven. Now this, in fact, harkens back to ancient Jewish tradition that Michael and Satan fought. And Michael was the one who cast out Satan from heaven. Michael was the great hero in heaven. And they, the 70, were sent out with these powers. And Jesus had given them such that they were done in the name of the Spirit were not done by these superhuman beings like Michael and Gabriel, but by the people that Jesus himself had appointed to do them. Jesus. They only did this by the name of Jesus. And then, as such, Jesus reminds them that they should not actually take joy in having this power itself, but the joy should be that they are destined to join him, that they are destined to join Jesus. This is what they should be joyful about, not having the ability to do these amazing things. Now, I think if I were suddenly gifted a superpower, I would love to be able to just magically heal people just by touching them. You know, and there's been times when people have come up to me, they see my collar and say, "Pastor, I've got demons talking to me." This happens not that irregularly here in Berkeley. Happens once in a while that somebody sees my collar and asks me, and I will touch them and I will pray with them, and hopefully those demons are give them a little bit of a break. But I don't know if I actually have the power of the angels like Jesus has sent out with his 70 followers. But it's only through Jesus' name that he gives these disciples his power to heal and exercise. And more importantly, the power to proclaim the good news that Jesus has come. The good news that we receive, that God has forgiven all people and that death no longer has any sway over humankind. But such power that Jesus gives is limited. And it's only through Jesus' will and Jesus' command. And it is, in fact, the power of these beings that many consider to be mythological in nature, these angels. Although our scripture does mention them, even if they don't mention Michael by name, they mention fairly regularly with clarity and great purpose. And so who are these beings called angels? And what marks our fascination with them? Despite the fact that we, as Christians, come from this Abrahamic tradition that says that there is only one God in heaven. And some people, you know, might just, when we talk about angels, well, there's these other powers up there. Is that not godliness? So this belief in angels goes back long, long before Christian times. It didn't start with Christ. It started before that. And even unto the very earliest part of Judaism, our ancestors in the faith wanted or needed and understood that in accounting for the fact that although their belief was in only one God, that we had difficulty interacting that God without either going blind or crazy. This is why Moses wore a veil in front of his face. Because in being in the presence of God, he actually shone out. And the people could not look on Moses. And Moses could not look directly at God because God was so powerful and not to be looked at by human beings. And so that's why we see these angels going back and forth. And really, they really went from God. Because the word angel itself, its very word, comes from a Greek word, angelos, which means literally messenger. And even going back beyond Greek, because this doesn't appear to be something that happens in the precursors of Greek, Greeks borrowed this word from some other language. Quite possibly the Semitic languages that were around before Jesus' time, or before Moses' time. There are ones that were around before Judaism and Hebrew. And the Hebrew concept of angel certainly predates the Greek word, because the Greek language certainly took hold around in the 300s before Christ, but we read about angels well early on, and the heavenly hosts. You know, Abraham was visited by three men, or three divine beings, and maybe the word they were using. I mean, let's not attribute gender to these entities that were visiting Abraham. But three beings that were divine. And we pretty much assume that those were an early concept of angels. But we see angels over and over again throughout the Old Testament. And Daniel, and this chapter of Daniel that we read this morning is from a late part of Daniel. So a lot has been developed in the Hebrew tradition, in Judaism that we understand that the later part of Daniel is in. We read that Michael is the great protector of the people and will eventually bring the dead of Israel back to life. Now, Michael was the herald of the end times. And after the exile, which is the exile in Persia, and this was basically when Daniel was written, after the exile, but before the time of Jesus, we call this the intertestamentary period. That's a nice $12 word for you. Intertestamentary period. Jewish tradition speaks of four archangels, who hold up the legs of the throne of God. Now, we Protestants know of two of these right off the bat. There's Michael, and who can name the other one?
Gabriel.
Michael is the one who announces the end of time. Gabriel is the one who announces the end of time with his trumpets. And therefore, he was the one that announced the birth of Jesus to Mary. Now, a third one we find in what's known as the Deuterocanonical works, which is strictly an entire part. But if you're Catholic, it's the Bible. And it's from the book of Tobit. And most modern Protestant Bibles, at least the Lutheran ones that we used in seminary, included all of these books. And it just says, they used to call them the Apocrypha, but that kind of like makes them less than. So now we call it Deuterocanonical, which means that some faith traditions don't look at them as being part of the Bible, and some faith traditions do. And I like to think that they're part of Scripture. But we refer to, in the book of Tobit, it describes Raphael. Now, Raphael is a fairly common name in Spanish-speaking countries. And there's a reason for that, because in Spanish-speaking countries, traditionally Catholic, Raphael is the name of an angel. That's why, a lot of people named Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. There's also a fourth archangel that doesn't find its way, I say its way because we don't know if they're male or female, right? That find its way into that comes from directly from the Jewish tradition. His name is Uriel. And he was also known as the angel of death. And that might be part of the reason why we don't find him in Christian tradition, because it's a little bit, we have a different idea of what death and what entails death. Now, to go a little bit further, and then I'll not bore you any longer with this angelography. The four archangels are contained in this hierarchy. You see, there's a hierarchy in heaven, and there's nine different ranks, and I'm going to list them for you. Bear with me. Angels, archangels, principalities. There's some great names here. Powers, virtues, dominions, thrones, and then the latter two ones we've heard over and over again, particularly around Christmas time, the cherubim and seraphim. So if you ever wondered what cherubim and seraphim were, they're different types of angels. We don't hear much about all of those hierarchies in Scripture, and even Michael only appears in the New Testament in the book of Jude and Revelations. And we read in Revelations how he threw out the great dragon, also known as the snake, also known as Satan, who was thrown to earth with his angels, which is an important part because now we're looking at other angels that were thrown out of heaven who have somehow attributed and been companions to Satan. So it's all this interesting stuff that we find from Scripture, and there's all these extra scriptural sources, particularly from Judaism. And then we have the 20th century and cinema. Often we see these angel beings who do divine will or even break ranks with God and have their own personalities. In one movie, who's seen the movie Dogma? Dogma, thank you. With Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, who play these two angels who have been cast out of heaven, who just like Satan, and they're jealous of man, of humankind. We find angels in television series.
Supernatural.
Nope, that's one. I was thinking of played by the likes of Michael Landon or Roma Downey. Going back into the 20th century, that's a little bit more current. You can show you how much television I watch. Oh, wow. Okay. So these television writers do a lot of studying. And of course, I think both Michael Landon and Roma Downey played angels who hadn't quite yet made it into heaven or had to do something in order to get their wings. And there's all this wonderful stuff. And we all remember the Christmas classic. If I can remember the title of the Christmas classic. With James Stewart. Thank you. It's a Wonderful Life. You know, every time a bell rings,
Clarence.
That didn't work. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. So we didn't hear the bell, so it didn't happen that time. All right, so angels pervade our consciousness, and whether or not we actually see the superhuman angels in our midst, with all that we read about them, it's hard to be people of faith. And even people that don't believe in God might believe in angels. There's actually a lot of people, they've taken surveys, and a lot of people who say, well, I don't believe in God. And then the next question is, do you believe in angels? They'll say, oh, yes. But it's hard to be people of faith and not at least play with the idea that angels are behind the scenes, helping us along in so many different ways. I know when we've had experiences that we can call near fatal, that we somehow managed to get through despite ourselves. Now, some of you know that just 3 weeks ago, your pastor took a foolish and dangerous chance on I-80. And believe me, it was the fault of nothing but my own ego. As I was rapidly switching from a slow-moving lane to slow-moving lane during afternoon rush hour, trying to get over to the fast lane, thinking I could get over fast, quicker than a regional bus that was traveling rather quickly, and I didn't make it. And I kind of bumped the side of the bus and kind of landed on the ground, my bike a few meters away from me. And it was a miracle, in fact, that I survived with just bruises. I mean, it's 3 weeks ago, and I'm walking, standing here today. And that the traffic around me was actually paying enough attention to stop. And there was nothing further that happened. Even the bus was managed to stop a little ways up. Now, if there were such beings as angels who invisibly watch over us, I know that they were standing there, they were watching me that day and protecting me, and they had their arms around me. Probably every time I get on my motorcycle, they have their arms around me. Although, I'm hoping I've been giving them a little bit less to work with. I'm letting them like, woof, all right, we don't have to watch him that hard now. But it wasn't the first time that I have needed angels, and I've needed miracles, and I've had miracles around me. And I know many of you have shared with me stories of the angels in your lives as well. Now, the extraterrestrial beings that we call angels, and I use the term extraterrestrial because literally angels are not of this earth. They might find themselves once in a while being outdone by the work of our fellow human beings doing angelic deeds. Now, if you look around you in the sanctuary, and I was really hoping for long strings of lots of these, but we have a few. And later, after the service, I invite you all to take a look and look at these sheets where people have shared inspirational stories of the angels in their lives. And how the angels have done things for them in their lives. Sometimes kindnesses bestowed upon people are emblematic of the kinds of things that we think of angels doing. But sometimes they might be more rudimentary. Things like paying someone's bills anonymously. Or the tireless efforts to see that somebody who's in danger finds safety and security. Walking with another person at points in their lives when they're trying to get through a hard period, whether it be getting off drugs or alcohol, getting through intense depression that some of us sometimes have, or sitting with someone keeping them safe from threats from the outside world. We can act like angels. This is a gift that God has given to us. Can we be angels? Now, each of us, we are just human beings, nevertheless. And so when we act like angels, it is truly an amazing thing. It is God with us. It is God giving us the power, the authority that He gave the 70 over demons, uplifting within us the authority to proclaim the gospel, to cast out demons, or demons in people's lives, to heal people, or to give people the confidence to live another day, to be strong, to be wise, walking with people. And even as we at times might feel protected by angels walking over us and keeping us out of harm's way and keeping us from accidents on I-80. We remember that the primary function of angels goes back to its historic meaning. And so healing, keeping safe, keeping secure, keeping us on the straight and narrow is really secondary. Because when we proclaim the good news that God has done for us, we're doing what God commands His angels to have done. What Gabriel did when he appeared to Mary. I bring you glad tidings. You are the chosen one of God. And that we may know without a doubt that the good news of God, His good news of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord Jesus, rules over earth and His heavenly kingdom. And God rules as Jesus Christ to give us grace, sharing His Holy Spirit with us that we may be bestowed with the power of angels. And through His forgiveness makes us, you, me, sisters and brothers, God's holy people. We are God's holy people now and forevermore. Amen.